The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening, for following us on Instagram, you know, for just being around.
Oh my God. Instagram is like, once we hit 1,000, you guys, that was, we were like, every day we're like, oh my God, we're at 900. We're at 950. We're at 970. We're at 980. We're at 991, 982, 993, 987.
I would say that was 70, 30, you, me.
I was just like waiting, and now we're over 1,000, and I'm like, oh my God. We don't get to do anything fancy like swipe up. You know, you can't do that until you have like 10,000 followers.
Oh, right.
But it's like really, I'm like, oh my God, it's so cool. Yeah. I love it.
And we've been getting a little bit more interaction there. I have this new scheduling tool I've been using to post, and that helps. So that we can make sure that we're posting something every day or almost every day. And then also we're getting some good feedback on our iTunes reviews. March was like the most we've ever gotten. So
I know.
Thank you.
By the way, you guys, just so you know, like most of the Instagram posts, the writing, that's Christy. Like she, I'm always like, write something. You're good at that. I'm not good at that. Mine are more like,
she just likes to tell me I'm good at things, so I'll do them.
No.
You do. It works. It totally works. We've talked about this before. I need verbal affirmations and you give them to me.
Yes, this is true. This is very true. However, I swear to God, I think you're really good at it. Like you are really good at it.
Well, thank you. If Instagram posting, if posting photos and like pulling quotes and trying to be, you know, topical and not inspirational for those of you who are following us on Instagram, but like trying to post things that are appropriate and directive or, you know, fun or whatever. A lot of it's just like tidbits of advice I try to post that we talk about on the podcast. So if you're following us, the Instagram is like a visual representation of what we're already talking about. If I could do that all day for 5 days, if that were my job, I would be fine with that.
You might want to look into that, Christy, like consulting with social media. You're really good at it, dude. You could do it all the time.
If someone were going to pay me money to do that, they'd be like, how many followers do you have? 45,000? And I'd be like, close, 1,123.
No. Listen, there are people doing it with less followers than us, lady. I've seen it. I don't know why.
We should note that all of our Instagram followers are organic, real, like, so every time we get like a new, like, Kaylee 2525 is following you. Like, we see that and we're like, yes, that's one for today. Like, 1,100 and whatever we have, we see you. We know you.
Yeah.
I would recognize you in a Costco. That's how much we know you.
You would not. You could, Christy, I'm so freaking excited.
Because you get to see me in person and hug me and touch my face.
Yeah. Well, yes, that. But also, like, I'm so excited that we're doing this. It's so fun.
I got kind of excited today.
I'm so excited.
I got kind of excited. I almost texted you, but I didn't want you to get all, like, double excited on top of my excitement because I knew you were already there. But I did get a rush of, like, because I'm unpacking. So are you. Like unpacking today.
I'm not even going to unpack.
And then just going to repack. And as I was unpacking, I thought, oh, the next time I put shit into the suitcase, it's going to be like heels and fake eyelashes and like fun stuff. I'm not going to be packing like 6 pairs of underwear for my 5-year-old. It made me really excited because it's like a real trip for us that is professional.
We, you know, it's I always say this, but I told my husband, I'm like, it is so cool that there was nothing, like, this did not exist, you know, until, what did we start it, November of 2016? Or was it May? I can't remember. But now, you know, we're getting all these iTunes reviews and all these Instagram followers, and somebody is bringing us out to Boston to MC an event. And you guys, we're having a meetup, and we're so excited to meet you in person, you Bostonians.
Oh, yeah, this is, which, by the way, last chance, everyone. You know,
last chance. Hit us up. Okay, Saturday, March 30th, 1:30 p.m., we're having a meetup. We want to meet you in person. We're going to have little teeny little goodie baggies. You know, little goodies.
We are going to have goodie bags. Goodies. And it's going to be us with a small group of people and cocktails.
A small group. How fun
to get some FaceTime with you guys.
And yeah.
We're really stoked. Those of you that have reached out and said you're going to come, we're really excited to meet you.
Yes. So you better be there. And so
if you flake, we will cry.
Please don't.
Just don't, putting guys, it out there.
Those of you, those two of you who said you're coming.
Hey.
Do not flake.
We have.
All right, it's three.
We have guests.
All right, it's three.
We have former guests. We have current clients.
Yes.
Current clients. And a small handful of listeners. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I'm so excited. So anyway, email us if you can make it on Saturday, March 30th at 1:30 p.m. It's just going to be 2 hours because we have to seriously run out of there and go to our sound check over for the wet event.
Yes.
In Boston. So email us or DM us on Instagram. Let us know if you can make it. Please, please. We need a head count. Okay. Okay.
All right. So that was a healthy amount of humble bragging, but we got to do it sometimes, you guys, because we work really hard and we're stressed out a lot of the time and we over communicate with each other in between recordings. So when you hear us on a recording, it's like actual talking, but just imagine that for every hour show you listen to, there's been no fewer than 100 text messages that have gone back and forth, not about that show necessarily, but just between us for the millions of podcast things. So it's always good to get on the actual Skype.
Yeah, get on.
All right. So, like we said, we got a ton of reviews. More in March, I think, than we've gotten in a month in a long time. That's not scientific, but that's my hunch. So we're going to read a couple of those. And then we have a voicemail for Yawa.
Yeah.
And we have, on top of the voicemail, three emails. And I'll just tell you the topics now. So one,
this is all about you. This is all about you guys, you got listeners. This is all about you listening. This Yawa, You Ask, We Answers are all about you, baby.
And we had a lot of emails, but we tried to pick the ones that are giving you listeners the biggest spectrum of topics. So the voicemail is about some venue stuff, including a guest count. Email number two is all about wedding dresses and some buyer's remorse, maybe some regret. How do we deal with that? Email three is parents helping pay. Maybe they also want to make some decisions. And how do you figure that out? Very common question we get. And the last one is about cash registries. So trying to figure out how best to register for stuff that is not dishes, pillows,
blenders,
toilet plungers, all that stuff.
You can always use a toilet plunger. Don't forget that. Yeah.
So reviews, we picked four.
Yep. We'll only do four, but there was many more. Thank you. I'll start.
Bigly reviews.
Bigly.
This month.
Biggins. Okay. Here we go. Number one was sent on March 1st. 5 stars, titled "Amazing and So Helpful," in quotations, especially the consultation, which you all know we do. Listen up. Here we go. This is what she says. This is from Shawnik. I recently got engaged and have been binge listening to TBWB. TB. What's the name of our show? TBWPP on my daily commute. Christy and Michelle are so real and down to earth that it's like I'm a fly on a wall listening in on an eavesdrop worthy convo chock full of information at a cafe. While I haven't gone through all the episodes yet, I've already learned so much and know which episodes I need to listen to again as I get further into wedding planning. The best part is I'm in the prime time of life where everyone is getting married, including coworkers and friends. We all talk about our wedding planning, and referencing the podcast makes me sound like a genius. Just yesterday.
It's like me when I talk about NPR. I heard this thing on NPR.
Right. They're like, oh, okay, that's really.
I better listen. Wow. No one thinks that.
Just yesterday, I suggested a coworker listen to the Be Your Own DJ episode while she's putting a playlist together for her wedding. Hopefully these recommendations get them hooked like I am so we can talk more about what we learned. I also utilized the discounted 2-hour consultation session with Christy. It was so helpful while I just...
Ooh, name dropping.
Yay! While I just get started on planning a wedding weekend. I appreciate their willingness to help even more, considering how helpful their podcast is already. She even provided a list of everything we talked about in an email afterwards. So the thought and time really goes a long way. Christy gave so many suggestions and ideas that I had not thought about, including how to establish guest counts for multiple events, my biggest concern. The 2 hours really helped us dive into so many different aspects of the wedding weekend that I was also concerned about, such as venue, photography, florals, rentals, timeline, and more. If you're considering the help, I would recommend it. Keep up the amazing work, ladies. Damn, that's a good review.
We went over a lot. I know who you are.
I know who you are.
We went over a lot, and there was a lot to talk about because she's doing like a 3-day, there's a... Indian wedding, American wedding, and then a big pre-wedding party as well. So that was really fun. Okay, next, March 12th. Amazing resource. I cannot believe this is free. Neither can we. What are we doing?
Elliot is a girl.
Did not go to business school. Michelle and Christy, oh, 5 stars. Michelle and Christy are amazing, and this podcast is such a great resource. First, they're funny. Have a great chemistry, and strike such an honest and conversational tone while keeping the energy high. Michelle is like listening to the most motivating and uplifting meditation tape. And Christy sounds like a friend is 3 feet away, ready to refill my wine and tell me everything I need to hear. Oh. Second, this show is so inclusive. No matter your gender, sexual orientation, budget, religion, or style, there is something for you. Third, they ask the interviewees really everything we really want to know. You know that friend who you can just no BS ask how much her couch was or what she spends on her makeup, etc.? That's the openness these ladies create. Thank you both so much for spreading your wonderful advice and creating something to make our lives so much calmer and better.
Oh, my God. You know, when I read that the other day, like, seriously, got like all warm and fuzzy and my hair stood up, you know, my arms. And then just with you reading it again, I'm like, it's really, really sweet. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. Elliot is a girl. Next one, 5 stars. It says, thank you by Regan Justin, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. I am a young bride.
Oh, you need to read this in an Irish accent.
Oh, no. I am a young bride, and me and my fiancé. I can't. I can't do it.
It's so hard. I can't either. My Irish always goes Jamaican, so don't even ask me.
Top of the morning to you. No, is that Irish?
Yeah, that was good.
Is it?
That was as Irish as this is going
to
get.
Top of the morning to you. I can't do Irish. I can't do it. And I have a really good friend who's Irish, and she has the strongest Irish accent. Anyway, okay. I am a young bride. Me and my fiance are both 20, and we're the first of our siblings and friends to be getting married. We had no idea where to start and what all goes into wedding planning, but y'all's podcast is so informative and really entertaining. I absolutely adore it. I'm probably going to be still listening even after the wedding. Y'all do an amazing job. Thank you, heart emoji. Thank you, Reagan Justin. Heart emoji.
And last but not least for this recording, March 22nd, 2019, from Rachel Kelly Brannick. I've been planning my sister's wedding for the last 9 months, and this podcast has been so helpful. This is the first wedding in our family, and it's so great to have perspectives on what is necessary and what isn't. I've been going back and listening to the podcast from 2016 and have not been disappointed. Great content and hilarious ladies to keep you entertained.
Yay!
Hey, good for you for helping your sister out.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's a big job.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you all so much for those reviews and those that we did not read. We read them. We read them when we need to, when we're having a bad day. What did I tell you, Christy? Like, go open, read it's the true. Reviews. You guys are just fantastic and wonderful for doing this and taking the time. And if any of you listening have not done it and you're able to, please do. It just really not only lifts our spirits and makes us love you more, but it also helps get the word out about our show to others and grow our audience. And we need that. And it's important. So right on, man. Thank you so much. And to start off, we have a voicemail. Someone called us. Someone called us. It happens once in a while. And when it does, boom, we put that on Yawa. So let's listen to this voicemail from Casey.
Hey, Christy and Michelle. This is Casey. I've been emailing you guys like crazy. I thought I'd change it up a bit and give you guys a phone call for this question. I kind of have a concern. I'm getting married in May, so May 4th. And my beautiful fiance and I are having, well, what we told the venue was 75 people-ish, give or take. And we're the type of couple that waits till the last minute to do everything. And I guess that's kind of what our friends and family do. But we sent out our invitations, the RSVP cards, and we haven't gotten a whole lot of those back yet. Even people that are going to be in the wedding haven't sent them to us. Even my dad hasn't sent them to us. Like I said, we're getting married on May 4th. Our venue wants a head count by April 4th. So we told everybody to have their RSVPs back by the 1st of April. And we sent the invitations out about 2 weeks ago, and I know a lot more people than she does, especially around these parts, because she's not from here originally. And so I do have the people that I would invite. I just didn't invite all of them because we had already sent out a bunch of invitations. But now it's getting to the point where she's kind of stressing me out, where I'm like, oh, man, maybe our wedding will be too small. The venue says 50 is their lowest that they allow or for us to pay for. So we'll see how that goes. I was just trying to get you guys' advice on all of this. You know, I don't want it to be a small wedding. I want it to be a decent-sized wedding, not too big, not too small. So my question for you guys is, how do we know? We only have, like, 2 weeks until they're actually due back to us. How do we know when we should start sending out more invitations to our B-list people? I mean, really, I've only gotten back a handful. So we're really scared our weddings to be really tiny, and that's not exactly what we wanted. So I just thought I'd give you guys a call and see if you guys had any, you know, advice about that. And you lovely ladies have been helping me out a lot. So hopefully you guys can give me awesome advice. Thanks. Love you. Love your show.
All right. Thank you, Casey, for calling in, dear lady. And letting us hear your beautiful
Casey,
voice.
Thank you for following us on Twitter and interacting there on that wasteland of information.
You make Christy very happy.
You do.
All right. So this, it seems like you're a little, you know, this is getting you a little stressed out and nervous. You've got some deadlines here. The wedding is May 4th. What is this venue that they want your head count a month in advance, by the way? This is
We have a feeling that this was a troubleshooting move by the venue. Like, they've been burned or inconvenienced before when they had a 2 week due date, like a normal venue and a normal catering company. So they just were like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to say it's due 4 weeks out, and that's that.
I mean, they're going to make you pay for a minimum of 50 anyway, so I don't really see why they need this headcount unless it's like they're staffing kind of issues?
We think if you really, really didn't know at 30 days out, and you were almost there, but you had some TBDs that you just could not figure out, Casey, we're pretty sure that you can call the venue and talk to them and just say like, hi, I know that it's due today and, you know, I'm at 45, but I'm still 10 TBD and I will let you know as soon as I can. But that's just the situation. We're pretty sure you can do that. And nothing terrible is going to happen.
Like I said, you got to pay for 50 minimum anyway. But whatever. But let me say this. Because you mentioned that, you know, you're more relaxed. The two of you as a couple and like your family and friends are that way as well. And I think you were hoping to get those RSVPs in right away. And nobody's doing that. So if you really, really, really want to get some movement or, you know, find out some numbers so that you can start inviting B-listers, you're going to have to, like, pick up the phone, start texting these peeps, calling them, and just be like, hey, I know, like, the RSVP isn't due until the 1st, but, like, can you just, I'm trying to figure out my head count now, you know, just say, like, I got to give it to my venue. Do you know if you guys are coming? And just start making your own little list by doing it that way if you really you know, need to know now. I know you want to reach out to your B-listers and, you know, the more no's you get, the more B-listers you can invite. So that's pretty much the most you can do, right, Christy? I mean, there's not much else.
Yeah, we usually tell our clients that it's going to be about 15% of the people you send the first invitations to will say no. And that's just an estimate from, you know, what we're used to. I don't think you need to be as focused on the number of people there. It's quality over quantity is what I'm trying to say. And a small intimate wedding has some amazing pros and cons, like you get to talk to everyone and actually interact with everyone that's there and dance with everyone and toast with everyone and feel like you got to hug all of your guests. So don't focus on the number of people that are there, but we understand your desire and need to get an accurate head count. Everybody goes through that when they're planning their wedding. Just, I think if you had 40 people there, 50 people there, 60, you would be fine. That's nothing to, you know, be nervous about, yeah, I guess. Being too small.
Yeah, a wedding of 50 is not very small, by the way. Like, an event with 50 people is not tiny. It's lovely. You're going to get to talk to everybody and interact with them. You know, 75 is great, too. But, I mean, I've done weddings for 30, and I thought it was amazing. And the personal attention,
yeah, there's an intimacy.
You know, like you get to pay to everybody and you're still going to dance. You're still going to do it all. But no worries, lady. No stress. OK, we don't use the S word here. All right. So
except when we do. But other than that, we don't.
Correct. That is right.
OK.
The best is the best you can do.
And a wedding is only as much fun as the two people getting married. So be prepared to have a fucking great time and all your guests will, too.
OK. Boom. That's it. Let's end. Let's
end. That's the end of the episode.
Goodbye.
I feel no more. It doesn't get better than that.
That's advice for everybody listening. It doesn't matter what other question. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Let's go to an email, shall we, Christy?
Email.
You answered a lot once again. I will read the email. All right.
Okay, I did try to block out her name. Yeah. So just, okay.
Yeah. Dress regret. Hi, ladies. I need your advice. I need y'all to really help me out. I'm not stressed out at all about my actual wedding, but my fiancé is stressing me out so much. She can't make decisions about anything, which is fine. I've actually taken charge, and we have most of our vendors picked out and paid for. Here's the deal. We went and got wedding dresses a while back. Yes, together. So this is a same-sex wedding, peeps, if you haven't figured it out. Two ladies.
Ladies getting married?
What?
What?
This is absurd. It was great. And we both ended up getting dresses right on that day. I think it's cute they went together without going to other stores. I actually got the first dress I tried on, and I absolutely love it. her dress is beautiful as well. In the store, she loved it. We got home, she's very upset. She's nervous that it's way too sexy. It has a low cut, and she's worried about what people will think. She has a bigger chest than the women who model the dress, and so yes, her boobs are on display. We went to our lady to get our first fitting done last night, and our tailor showed her that the dress didn't fit exactly how it should. When she pinned it how it should be, it wasn't as sexy. Her cleavage is still there, but not as much as it was previously. But she's still big time on the fence about it. She loves the dress, just not sure about the boob part. We tried a few different things to make it less revealing, but she didn't like any of it, neither did we. She wants to go look at other dresses so we can exchange it for something different. Sorry, so we can exchange it if something different catches her eye. Is there any way to make her feel more comfortable if she chooses to stick with the sexy dress? I'm not really sure what I should do here. Probably just let her go try on other dresses, but just wanted to get expert opinions.
That's me. Expert opinion right here.
That's you.
I want to start this with when she's describing, like, she loves the dress, but, you know, XYZ, she doesn't feel this, she feels that, she's not sure. There's still a couple months before this wedding. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking as I was reading it, she's going to spend, if she's anything like me, somebody that, like, thinks and thinks and thinks and, like, tries to put something on a shelf and compartmentalize, but I'm not very good at it, and I wake up still thinking about something that I fell asleep thinking about the night before. She's going to go back and forth, and it's going to be exhausting and maybe a little bit annoying for the people in her life, but it's going to basically just be something that is unpleasant and causes her anxiety. Even if she land, if like you're going back and forth, do you ever do this, Michelle, where you're like, oh, I'm 100% okay with this. I'm okay with it. I embrace it. I'm doing it. I'm grateful. All the things you like, you're done. Yeah. And then the next day you're like, I actually think this is a really bad idea. There's something in the pit of my stomach. I'm not sure. We didn't even think about this. I'm not voicing this, but I should be. And then the next day, literally, I'll be like, what am I so worried about? It's fine. It's going to be fine. We've decided. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you do that back and
it's
forth.
Ping
and
pong.
That is kind of exhausting. But then also, even if she lands on, I love my dress, I love my body, I love my tits, I'm totally into this, blah, blah, blah. Even if she lands on that, it's kind of a crapshoot, like, going into it.
Mm.
Because an hour later, minutes before she walks down the aisle, she could be like, this was a bad decision. I totally should have, you know, worn something else. I feel too self-conscious, all those things. So that is not what you want going on in your head when you're dealing with other stuff that should, you know, take a bigger priority. So what I said was, I think that she should go return the dress and take her time to find a dress that she loves and feels confident in. I personally know that confidence counts for a lot on your wedding day. You want to feel beautiful and comfortable and be so confident in what you're wearing that you don't even think about it. No matter what she does with this first dress, she doesn't love it. And she isn't going to be able to stop worrying about it and thinking about it on the wedding day, which is not what you want her mind to be on. And it's not the best case scenario for really enjoying the whole day for her. I suggest you support her and listen to her. And even though you are complimenting her, telling her that she looks beautiful and you love her in the dress, I think she's feeling pressured. The important thing is to tell her that you truly want her to be happy and support whatever she decides to do. Ask her if she wants to go look at dresses without you or if she prefers you to go along, and reiterate that you will happily do whatever she wants to help make this process easy and enjoyable for her. Maybe she would feel less second-guessy if you weren't there to approve or have opinions about whatever dresses she's trying on. Or if she does want you there, take your cues from her as much as possible. I know this part is tricky. To just support and affirm whatever decision she seems to want to make when trying on new dresses. I think a new dress store, if possible, she mentioned a return, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it might not be possible, but I think a new dress store and a fresh experience altogether might make a big difference for her. Plus, now that you have your own dress, there isn't as much riding on trying dresses on together. One down, one to go. She knows what yours looks like now. She can get one to complement and not compete. And this is a side note, but I'd also suggest that you don't talk too much about how much you love, 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 love your dress until she finds one that she loves for herself, if possible. And then I just went a bit past what actual advice she's asking for. Maybe I shouldn't have done that, but relationships are difficult sometimes. You're on the same journey with wedding planning and the decision to get married, but you're two individual people who handle stress differently and probably have different feelings about the wedding day itself. That's okay. You love her and you want to marry her. She loves you and she wants to marry you. You will think she looks beautiful in any dress that she's smiling in. Remind her of that. Maybe take a little wedding planning break after this dress thing and come back to basics. Go out to dinner, talk about not the wedding, laugh, relax, kiss. You've got this. Remember that you both need to try and stay grounded and keep your eye on the prize. And the prize is marrying each other.
Very good. I just want to say something because I literally, we stopped at a mall on the way on our drive back from Tahoe today, and I went into Rag & Bone, which is one of my fave stores, and it was a Rag & Bone outlet. And here's the thing. This happens to me, and this is what I'm learning. It took me 43 years to learn this. It doesn't matter what you're shopping for, okay? Wedding dress is a huge one. But if you try on something in the store and you look in the mirror and you're not like, oh my God, I love this. This is super cool or super cute, or you know you're going to wear it all the time or whatever it is. There's one weird thing about it. Don't buy it. And she got home and saw that weird thing. And too much cleavage or feeling like it's too revealing, you're feeling self-conscious. That's it. It's not going to work out. I agree with you. Take it back. Go find something else because you'll wear it and you'll look beautiful and everybody will think you'll look beautiful. But if the whole time you're thinking, oh my God, I'm too exposed. And then you look up back at your photos and all you can think about back in those photos are like, oh, I was showing way too much.
And everyone's looking at you, which they should be.
Yes.
But you don't want to think, oh, they're looking at me because my boobs are sticking
right
out.
Right.
I'm about to have a nip slip.
Yeah. Friggin' Nipplegate all over again, Janet Jackson. Okay.
Right. I mean, I think we should say Justin Timberlake.
JT.
Not so much Janet as JT.
Well, you know, come on, they knew.
It was her nipple.
It was her nip. All right.
Okay, well, that about rounds it out. So we think you get what we're saying.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at Zola, Z-O-L-A, the wedding company that will do anything for love.
Who's Zola? Our sponsor! Many of our clients use Zola. Many of our listeners use Zola. In fact, we have one of our questions today mentioned Zola.
Yeah.
About the wedding registry. So Zola makes it so easy to register for everything you want, but that's not all. They also make it so easy to create free wedding websites from their templates, which are really stylish and cool and user-friendly, and we love them. Beautiful designs to choose from. And there's also other helpful tools on Zola, like helping keep track of your guest list, yes?
Yes, Zola saves you so much time because you have everything in one place. And that is freaking awesome. You got your wedding website there with everything people need to know about your wedding, including an FAQ section, right? They can questions you think they need answered. Mm-hmm. Your registry, which is so awesome. There's so many brands to choose from and things not even like, you know, the household items like we talked about before. You can register for honeymoon, for travel, for airfare, for
hotels.
Airbnb. All kinds of cool stuff, cooking classes, and your guest list manager and a free wedding checklist. And I played with the guest list manager tonight. It's really cool, actually. It is so, you can like, if you have like a Google spreadsheet or any kind of spreadsheet, it'll actually integrate. You can upload that. And they do like free addressing like later for your invitations because they have invitations and save the dates and all that. I mean, literally
you can have it all in one place, yeah, one-stop shop.
Everything in one place. There's free shipping. They have an amazing customer service. It's just pure convenience. You guys, you got to do it.
So for $50 off your registry, That means you register for a bunch of stuff, people buy you a bunch of stuff, and then at the end, your wedding has happened, you get all these great gifts, and you look to see which gifts you didn't get. Boom. You see, what is it that you could want? Some awesome throw pillows that you wanted. You're going to get $50 off of those at the end. All you need to do is go to zola.com/bigwedding. zola.com/bigwedding for $50 off your registry. Tell them we sent you. That's how they know. And then they'll keep loving us and we'll keep loving them. And it's a circle of love.
The
with
big
Zola.com.
Freaking Zola Love Fest with TBWPP. zola.com/bigwedding. Thank you, Zola.
Okay, email number three. This is about parents. They're helping to pay. Maybe they're getting in the way. You know, what do they get to decide on?
All right. Hi, Christy and Michelle. I joined Patreon a couple months ago. Hey, Patreon member. Thank you, darling. You're extra special. And since then, have been absorbing all of the amazing content and episodes you both put out. Because you get extra being a Patreon member, by the way, people. Patreon.com.
Yeah, we've been putting out some sweet bonus episodes lately.
Yeah, we have. And your newsletter is off the hook. Patreon.com/TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast. Anyone that wants to become a member and give us a little money every month that will help us keep on going. Anyway, sorry, this is your question. Let me keep on going. Sorry, plug, Patreon plug. I am writing today for some general family dynamic advice. My parents are wonderful, but live about 4 hours away, and as the oldest daughter/granddaughter on both sides of my family, mine and my fiancé's wedding is something that they are very much looking forward to. Since we've started the planning process, I feel like I have been struggling to figure out exactly what it is I want, since my parents have very big opinions and have no reservations about voicing them. Oh, you don't say. One example was when they saw how many of our friends were on the guest list. My mother's response was, "Friends don't bring the big envelopes for gifts." Huh. Mm. My fiance.
I see what she did there.
Yep. My fiance and I are very simple people and want a traditional wedding with our own personal style reflected. And we are still trying to figure that out. That being said, my parents are contributing to the wedding. And so I feel like if there is something we don't have as strong of an opinion on, I kind of defer to them since they seem to care so much. Meanwhile, my fiance wants me to stand up for what I want. And I want to do that too. But it's hard to do when we don't really know what it is we want.
Mm.
My mother,
the struggle is real.
My mother also let it slip that my father had a surprise planned for me the morning of the wedding. When I asked for some more details so I can build it into the timeline, shout out to that episode. It was amazing. She's so cute. She said he was planning on having breakfast alone with me the morning of our wedding. At first, I thought, "Oh, that's sweet." But when I told my fiance about it, he brought up a couple of great points. Mainly, aren't you going to be doing hair and makeup in the morning? Why wouldn't it be both of your parents? And isn't it a little selfish for your dad to steal you for himself when it's your day? That made me kind of rethink it. My dad still has no idea that I know that what he had planned, and now I'm in the middle of not really knowing what I want because I'm such a people pleaser. Any advice you have to help me, hashtag plan that wedding, would be very much appreciated. Oh, that's tough.
So, I felt like the biggest struggle in all that is that she doesn't actually know what she wants, you know? Like, it's hard to, like, put your foot down about something, even though you want, in theory, you want to put your foot down about it. But if you don't have a leg to stand on, so to speak, if I'm going to throw out all the puns, like, or the cliches, I should say, if you're going to throw those out, like, she doesn't know what she wants to be really firm about because she doesn't have really strong ideas.
Yeah, so I
feel you on that. I think sometimes this wedding industrial complex, like, feeds into this idea that by the time you're 25, you should know.
You should have a vision already.
Yeah, you should have a vision of your wedding and what's important to you and what's not and what you love. And not everybody is like that.
No.
So I'm addressing that, I think, in the answer. And I guess we're just assuming that your dad doesn't listen to this podcast. If we've like totally blown our wad, we will. I'll tell you what, if we've ruined everything, we will treat you to that breakfast. Okay. Okay. So I said, thank you so much for being a patron. And I'm happy to hear that our podcast has helped you thus far. I know wedding planning can be overwhelming. And for some people like you, it sounds like the decisions don't just trickle down from some great overreaching vision for your wedding because you don't have one. And I want you to know that that's totally okay and that you can do this. As far as figuring out how you want your wedding to go, I suggest you and your partner think about and talk about how you want the day to be, how you want to feel during the day, and what you want to be able to look at in your photo album years later and fondly reminisce about. Think about the other weddings you've been to that were really fun or memorable. It's usually not the gorgeous flowers or the killer band that you remember. It's the personal touches that made everyone there feel like they were part of a special day, a special event. It's a big thing that you're doing together. You're starting the part of life where you journey together as a family. It's a deliberate decision you're making. You are inviting all of your loved ones to be a part of that decision for you, to witness it and support you on your wedding day and in your marriage. So don't stress out about the dozens of decisions you have to make. Always come back to you too. Thinking about songs, just make sure all your favorites are there. Don't overthink it. Flowers and decor, just think about what blooms make you happy, what colors you like. I'm trying to say, like, keep it simple. Guests at the wedding will have as good of a time as you two are having. Create a day that you can truly enjoy. That being said, it's not just a day for you two, as it is also a big day for your parents since they are footing some of the cost. Just to let them make the decisions that they want that you don't really prioritize, I appreciate that impulse. Only do this, though. Only let them make decisions sort of carte blanche if you don't care about them, if you can truly let go of whatever that decision is. So you have to make the choice not to micromanage after you've given your parents, you know, permission or a long leash to go off and do what they want. You need to put your foot down about stuff that you really care about or that your partner really cares about, and then you let go of everything else. My parents had a really weird thing about music at my wedding. Have I told you that before?
I don't think so.
Like, my wedding was extremely low budget, extremely low time frame for planning it because it was a shotgun wedding. We did it so quick. And we did have a little chapel, but I was just going to play like an iPad on a speaker for the song I walked into. And, you know, it wasn't that important to me what the song was. I actually had a friend that was going to sing, but in terms of like prelude music and recessional music, I didn't have live musicians. We didn't have enough money. It wasn't in the budget.
Yeah.
And my dad like freaked out a little bit. He was like, you have to have musicians. He just had in his head for some reason, like a wedding ceremony will have classical string musicians playing, and we ended up getting a string trio because he was so adamant about it, and I didn't really care. I mean, it was like lovely. I loved having a string trio, but I didn't have that much preference about it. And my dad, it was really important to him. So of course I said what any daughter would say, well, if you really want it, you pay for it. And he was like, fine, I'll pay for it. And they, you know, and he happily did, and it was lovely. And, you know, we compromised because some of the songs I chose for them to play, you know, he wouldn't have chosen, but because they were played by a classical string trio, he was happy and I was happy. They played Guns N' Roses when we walked back down to Sweet Child of Mine because I was pregnant and I thought like, oh, it's a child. And we're going to really go there. And I loved it and he loved it. But that's just an example of like, I had no idea that was really important to my dad until he made it abundantly clear. Like, it sounds like her parents are making some things pretty clear. So if you truly can like say like, fine, dad, mom, you want roses? I don't really care. Get a bunch of roses. If you can truly let go and give them that, then do it. But don't try to manage them once you give them, you know, their permission to do it or give them the leeway. So I think the main way that parents get in the way sometimes when they're paying is with the guest list. So I don't think that you should have to nix anybody from your guest list, somebody that might not bring a fat card. But you will let them or graciously, you know, allow them to invite whoever they want to a limit, you know, a certain extent, because they're paying. I also think it's nice to give some accommodations for the ceremony, maybe with who's involved in the processional. Grandma needs a reserved seat. Does your cousin want to do a reading? You know, things like that. These things, in my experience, tend to be really important to parents because they want to be seen and heard and celebrated a little bit on the wedding day too. So I hope that makes sense. As far as your dad and his surprise, I think you should give this to him and work it into the timeline. It may have to be an early breakfast, but I think you won't regret doing it. There's something really special about a father-daughter relationship, and he may have some things he wants to say to you in private or just to share that time alone with you before you walk down the aisle. I think your mom told you so that you could fit it in and work it out logistically. So enlist her help to make it smooth in terms of planning and location. Set boundaries. You know, you don't want to go to an IHOP or you don't want to go an hour away or whatever, but convey that you are happy to have that time with your dad. That's just my two cents. And maybe it's because that sounds really nice. I would love more breakfast with my dad.
Yeah.
I hope this helps. Remember that we always think it's a good idea to take planning breaks. Damn, I was dishing that advice out right and left. Planning breaks, planning breaks, planning breaks. Have time with your partner that doesn't revolve around wedding talk. Everyone in your life wants you to have a wonderful wedding day. So let people help. Ask for space and time when you need it. Try to stay on the same page with your partner so that you don't feel like you're the only one that seeks to please everyone all the time.
I'm just going to add, and I am a people pleaser as well. I have that problem, and I am working on that in therapy. Like, seriously, I am. But I want to point out that there is one part in here that said, after your mom let it slip, your first thought was how sweet it was that your dad wanted to do this. But it was after your fiance gave you his input that you were rethinking it. And yes, like, I do this with my husband all the time. Like, he, you know, I get his input. I value it very highly, and I do rethink things often. But it is your dad, and like Christy says, what a lovely, special thing that he wants to do that with you. You know, do create time in it, in the timeline for it. I agree. It can't be like a 3-hour, you know, long.
It can't be breakfast. All you can eat.
But also, you're not supposed to even know about this. Okay, he's gonna surprise you with it. So, I mean, it's just really sweet and it's touching and it's lovely. And I think that your fiance, you know, has strong opinions about it because he has this idea that you need to stand up for yourself. And in many ways, you probably totally do. But I think
this is
probably not one of those. That's my hunch. It's probably not one of those. And how lovely that he's looking out for you, and how lovely that your dad loves you so much, and you're just wrapped up in all this love, and sometimes it can cause conflict in your own head. So anyway, you do that. Let us know what happens. Okay. And then last email, is this the last one? Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So this one's about registries.
Yeah, okay, registries, cash registries, Zola. Here we go. I'm a huge fan of your podcast. It's helped me so much with planning my wedding so far, especially the timeline series. Holy crap, I seriously grabbed a bottle of wine. Yes, a bottle. Sat down with my laptop and powered through all 3 episodes.
Can you believe that?
Wow. While creating a spreadsheet with everything. Now it's in a Google Doc so we can access it anywhere on any device when we think of something new. So convenient. Thank you. That's so cool. I got a visual. That is so cool. Wow. Okay. My question is about cash registries. My fiance and I have lived together for over a year, and we have everything we need at home already. And quite frankly, neither of us want to deal with the clutter of storing more stuff. We have decided it would be a lot more meaningful for us to take a long extended honeymoon traveling Europe for a few weeks, and would like to only have a cash registry to help fund that trip. Personally, I feel like being upfront and transparent with our guests about the intention for the fund is best. But my fiance feels, transparent with our guests about the intention. Wait.
Yeah, like what they're going to spend it on.
Okay. But my fiance feels that it may seem greedy to have a registry for something unnecessary, like an extended honeymoon to Europe. He would rather have a cash registry titled something along the lines of Life Together Fund and be a bit more vague. What are your thoughts on this? Any suggestions or past experiences you could offer? We're using Zola, which, as you know, is incredible and so easy to navigate. I've had a hard time finding resources for this type of question. Thank you so much in advance, and I can't wait to hear from you.
I'm interested to hear your take on this, Michelle, because I had a very clear, I read it and I was like, oh, this is what I think. So I don't always have like a clear thought on the opinion of where things are going to fall. So I said, thank you for emailing. We love that you powered through the timeline episodes. Good for you. We're going to move. Yes. As far as the cash registries, I agree with your fiance on this one. That it would be best to be more general about what you want the money for. And I have several reasons for that. With Zola, register for just a few things that you know you can use for the honeymoon. Luggage, airline gifts, miles, Airbnb gift cards. Sometimes people want to actually buy something and they don't want to just give cash or money into an account. So I think you should have a few options. And then do the rest as a cash fund on Zola. On your wedding website, if you're doing one, which you should be since you have Zola and it's easy, you can go into more detail for the guests that are curious about this. You can say something like, we decided to have a cash fund registry so that we have money for our honeymoon and to start our life together as a married couple. You don't have to name the fund anywhere. Guests will understand once they see it. If they go to Zola, they'll see that you have a registry and that that's on there. And if they've gotten that far and then they want to buy you a gift and a cash fund through Zola is just as easy and it's just as appropriate as purchasing gifts off the site. Basically, Zola makes it easy. So, or other sites that you might use might have the same functions, but I know, like, I've clicked through Zola to make sure that they have this. So you, as a couple registering, you're not being sneaky. It's still transparent, but it doesn't explicitly commit to how you're going to spend the honeymoon or how you're going to spend the money on a honeymoon over other newlywed necessities. Or let's say you got $5,000 towards your honeymoon and you ended up only spending $4,000. Like, you don't, there's no need for you to, they don't care basically once they give you the money. So I think the more like open you are about it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be specific about exactly what you're going to spend the money on. I also have a feeling that your fiance might be like I am, a little bit uncomfortable about sharing elaborate travel plans. Like, I don't post anything on Facebook or Instagram when I go. I'll post like one family picture if I do something, but like, I'm not going to post 12 pictures of some cruise I take because it feels to me kind of like grass is always greener. It's a little ostentatious, I feel like. So I'm uncomfortable being like, we're going on this awesome cruise to blah, blah, blah. And we did this and we also got to see this. Like, I think you can keep a little bit of that to yourself. And then also you haven't committed to spending this money on anything. You're just saying that you want to use it on a honeymoon and life. So those are my reasons for agreeing with him on this one. And she wrote back and said that that's what they ended up doing. So
yeah, I think you're right. It's really not proper etiquette to ask for money. I mean, if you're going to go back and look at proper etiquette, it's not proper etiquette to ask for money. That being said, there is a registry. I agree. Register for the airline, register for Airbnb, register for things that are going to help you with that. And then, yeah, put a little, fund or whatever it is. So,
because the fund is through the registry. It's not like, here's my Venmo account. Just give me money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's through the registry. So if they've clicked onto it, and I definitely think for millennials, like if a 25-year-old, 30-year-old is going to give you $50, $100 for your wedding gift, they don't care what you spend it on. It might be just as easy for them to click fund and give you $100 that way and put their name on it. And isn't it great if they get a thank you card, you know? But your grandma or your aunts and uncles, they might want to actually give you a tangible gift. So try to incorporate some of those onto your registry.
Awesome. Very, very good. Thank you all so much for writing in and letting us answer those questions.
So that's it for today's Yawa. Thank you all for listening. If you want to make April even better than March with the iTunes reviews, and head over to iTunes right now. You have to go to the left side. There's a rate and review thing. You say how many stars, and then you get to say something really nice, and then we read it, and we love you forever. You can follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Facebook, look up the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. It's actually TBWP Podcast. Same with Twitter. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. We have show notes for every episode on our website, and you can search. If you are new to this podcast and you're looking for something about photography, write the word photographer into the search and you'll see which episodes directly relate to that. It's really helpful. And if you have questions, comments, compliments, complaints, you can write us an email, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to become a patron and help us out with $5 or $10 a month, that would be so awesome. And we have some awesome perks over at Patreon. So patreon.com, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast.
And you can give us a call and leave a message just like Casey. Our number is 415-723-1625.
That's it.
That's it. Thank you all so much. Happy planning, Christy.
Oh, don't forget, we're going to be in Boston.
We already said that.
You guys are hearing this. We are leaving the day after you hear this. If you're hearing it, no, you know, when you're
subscribed. I'm leaving that night.
Yes, yeah, that night. And I'm leaving the day after. Okay. That's a big deal.
All right, I got to go eat dinner. I got to go.
It's just dinner. See, she's rushing.
I'm hangry. My husband's going to kill me. Love you. Love your show.
Number 5.
Bye.
Bye.